Proud of You is a parenting advice podcast and support group for dads hosted by two goofy dads. They are not pediatricians, nutritionists, OBGYNs, psychologists, nor are they authorities on parenting. They're just two dinguses trying to figure it all out. Their advice should not be taken as expert information. Parenting looks different for everyone, and there's no wrong way to be a dad. Frankly, if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about it, you're already doing a great job. And these dads are proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome back. I am Derek Mata.
And I'm Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This week, we've got a little bit more of a serious subject, talking about healthcare, remedies, how to take care of your kid when they're sick. And we're not talking about the big, huge, obvious, go to a hospital, their arm is broken kind of stuff. We're talking about the little things.
Yeah, like, you know, slight fevers. And I say slight because it's different to everyone. And, you know, we were talking right before we started recording, like 104, I think it's 103. Is it not? Like, I don't know. We have a disclaimer at the beginning of this that we're not medical experts, but like, with my oldest one, I think it was like 103 is brain damage territory. But we're talking slightly elevated to a little bit elevated right before that mark. And just a note here is, anybody watching this, you're going to keep seeing me look down and then look over here because I've got my baby monitor.
Yeah, this week's topic, inspired by real events, Derek's daughter is currently sick, so he is on full dad duty while we're recording here.
Yeah, so my son was sick with the same stuff last week, so it's been a very interesting past couple of weeks.
Yeah. So, you know, some dads, anything happens, right? Bump, scrape, bruise, there's a you know, 99 degree fever, anything at all. They go straight to the doctor, straight to the pediatrician, right? That's never been my approach, partially because that's not how I operate, right? Like, if I've got a 99 degree fever, I'm probably still going to work. Like, I'm not even taking PTO at that point. And I take much better care of my child than I take of myself, you know, which is good for her, definitely.
I think a lot of mine is of my upbringing. Like, you didn't go to the doctor for anything. To this day, I still don't go to the doctor for anything unless it is an absolute emergency, which there's been a couple. But it's not like I'm not going to take my kids to the doctor. I don't want anybody to think that. But I feel like there's certain steps that can be taken before that urgent care needs to be that top priority.
Yeah, totally. Well, and even, I mean, it's just a practical matter, right? I mean, even with great health insurance, paying your copay to go to urgent care to have somebody give you a $35 Tylenol and say, they'll be okay. Let them rest, put them in a cold bath, give them a shower, like whatever the recommendation is there. A lot of the time, and I get it, right? Because a lot of people want an expert to tell them what to do, right? Mm-hmm. When something is wrong, they want somebody who has studied for a minimum of 8 years to know every possible outcome, which, like, that's just not how medicine actually works, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you should trust doctors, you should trust science, and it's impossible to know everything. It's impossible to know every possible diagnosis. Like, there are master diagnosticians who spend years and years and years becoming incredible at figuring out what's wrong with somebody. And it can still take them three or four tries to get it right because, you know, there's a million diseases and a million viruses and a million infections that it can be, you know, especially in kids, it's really hard if they can't tell you specifically, this is what's wrong, right? Like, I know when the first time Alana got sick, she was probably 6 or 7 months. She was super young. And she got kind of a flu. And Emily and I had the same thing. All three of us were thrown up. And it sucked because, like, when they're that young, like, you can't explain it to them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all she knew was she felt horrible and she was throwing up and she didn't understand anything and she was just crying and crying and crying. And all I could do was hold her and try not to puke on her when I inevitably threw up and puke away from the baby while I held her. And she puked probably all over me that whole time, you know? Once they get a little bit older, like now Alana is speaking, and you know, she might not be able to say, "Hey, my lymph nodes are swollen," but she can say like "dada throat ouch" or like "dada nose boogers." Like she can tell me the gist of things, right? That are going on.
Yeah, 'cause like Ivy's been digging for gold a lot lately, but like I don't know if it's because of this whole thing or the fact that she loves picking her nose. I think Noah does too. They love showing off their boogers. But you know, she, even though she is that age that she can vocalize things, it's like teeth hurt. And I'm our daddy, I'm tired. Like, so to me, you're tired, go lay down. But like as kids, they want the comfort of the parent. It was like, yeah, I know what's best for you, but you don't want to listen to me.
Well, and it's complicated too, right? Because like, what does tired mean, right? It's feeling tired, because that's, you know, that's the next level of communication, right? Like Lucas can tell you, "Hey, I'm not like sleepy, but my whole body is like achy and tired." That's a different thing. That's not necessarily go take a nap. That's like, oh, maybe you have the flu. Maybe you need some potassium. Maybe you need to drink some water. Like, there's a lot of things that can make your body feel tired other than just needing rest. And if you're sick, rest is always good, right? There's almost never, I mean, there's an exception to everything, but generally speaking, if you're not feeling well, resting so that your body can put all of its caloric effort into making you feel better is gonna be a good thing for you. But teeth hurt. Well, okay. Is it like, are your gums hurting? Is it the bone that's hurting? Do you have a cavity somewhere? Or do you have a, you know, something going on with your gut biome that's making your gums swollen so it's inflamed and hurts to eat? Like, that communication barrier is so challenging. And I think that's one of the hardest parts of having, especially having an infant, because they can't communicate at all. But having a toddler, it's almost more complicated, just in a different way, because their communication gets a lot, especially when they're distressed, right? Their communication gets frantic and overwhelmed, right? So it's not Lucas coming to you know, as a teenager and saying, "Hey, Dad, my stomach hurts. I feel kind of nauseous and I think I might need to throw up." If Alana is in that exact same position, she's coming to me screaming, "Dada hurt, dada hurt, stomach hurt, dada hurt," like
Or
freaking
just
out and getting worked up,
crying,
right? Or just
like.
crying and saying, "Tummy," right? Like, she's not fully communicating what's going on, and it almost makes it harder than if she couldn't communicate at all. Because now, as dad, I'm stressing out because I think that it's a big deal, right? She's freaking out. She's crying. She's like, obviously something major is wrong. Well, yes, but how major is it, and how much of it is that she's not only not feeling good, but struggling with not being able to communicate on top of not feeling good, and that's what
Yeah.
has her really worked up.
So we're like, I know the big thing is like you said, like water and water and some kind of caloric intake. Like our big thing is right now, Ivy isn't because and Noah did the same thing, like we're not eating anything solid. And so we're trying to push those, you know, like Pedialyte. I don't have an issue with Pedialyte. I know some people are anti-Pedialyte. And then you got a thing. There's everybody sees the goods and bads and everything, right?
Yeah, I've just never heard anybody really bash on Pedialyte. It's just electrolyte water. It's like the healthiest thing for your body.
Yeah, but you know, there's always those people. And
I'm sure
then,
somebody in the comment section is explaining all of the microchemicals and microplastics and terrible things that
yeah,
I
I
don't know
bet you
about
they
Pedialyte
are.
to me. Thank you, by the way, because I want to know.
But like so what we've been doing is milk because she loves her milk. But like growing up, I was always told if you're sick, don't drink dairy or don't consume dairy. Well, what does she want to eat? Cheese, and she wants to drink milk. And we're just trying to keep those calories up because like when you're sick and you're not consuming something, you're not getting calories, you're burning more calories to try fighting it. It's a struggle because like I need you to eat, and like you know, going back to the trying, you can't explain it to them because they don't understand. Like, hey, I need you to eat. I need you to drink more water. I need you to drink more Pedialyte, or you're not going to feel good. Like, While I was trying to explain it to Ivy, she was looking down at my phone to take pictures.
Yeah.
But I made the effort. Like
Yeah,
maybe
well,
I can get through to her.
yeah. I mean, you know me, man. I'm always communication focused, right? Like, I can't make somebody listen to me, but I can explain it the best that I can, right? So, like, maybe it's getting through, maybe it's not, but I'm gonna do my best to tell Alana what I'm doing and why when she's sick and how I'm trying to help her. And you're right. I mean, I mean, hydration and keep them fed, keep them hydrated is the two biggest things. I mean, life in general, right? That's how you sustain yourself. But especially when you're sick, like, we were talking about fevers, right? And like, people see a fever and the immediate reaction is like, oh, gotta break that, gotta get that fever down, right? And like,
That's me. I've
there's some logic to it, right? And some people will tell you, like, yeah, if your kid has a fever, throw them in an ice bath and bring that core body temperature down, or crank the AC down and have them run around in a diaper so that they can cool down. Well, I mean, now your body, that fever is telling you something, right? That fever is saying that their body is working a little bit too hard to try to get well, right? They're sick and their body is burning calories trying to make them healthier. If you make it cold, then they have to use calories to keep their body warm. And they're using, it's taking calories away from their body's ability to create white blood cells and heal itself. Again, the caveat that we are not medical professionals is abundant in this episode. But if your kid has a fever of 99 degrees or 100 degrees, like, you might not want to bring that down, right? Like, I don't, when I have a 100-degree fever, I'm usually bundled up under blankets, right? I'm trying to sweat out whatever my body's
Yeah.
got going on and let it, just rest and stay warm and hydrated and healthy, or and fed, so that I can get healthy and my body can do its job. That fever is part of my body doing its job, right? My fever is trying to burn off the sickness, if you will.
Yeah, and
I
see, like,
don't necessarily want to get rid of that. But it's a slippery slope, right? Because what if that fever keeps going up, right? What if you didn't bring it down at 99 and now it's at 100, and now it's at 101, now it's at 102. Now we're starting to get to that territory where 102 degree fever is like, that's my threshold, right? Once it hits 103, we're in like a big oh no territory. So like 102, now we're gonna start doing something about it. Now we're gonna curb it down. And that's just me personally. There's some science to back that up, but you should do your own research.
so I am guilty of lowering the AC. I just had it drop to 65 to, I mean, 'cause I'm trying to cool down everything up here. And the other day, I dropped the main AC downstairs to 250, but because for some reason my bedroom does not get cold. So it's like I have my kids sleeping with me. I need to somehow not make it 75 degrees in there. So I am guilty of, all right, fever, let's turn it down some.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that's the wrong approach, right? Like, it's folk medicine. It's something that people have been doing for years. There's probably merit to it. It's just a different philosophy, right?
Yeah, because I remember to this day, and at this point, I don't even know if the story's true, but I know growing up, and I was probably no older than these two here. I had a fever, and my mother took me to the hospital, and they put me in an ice bath. Like, obviously, I don't remember it. Like, that was what, 30 some odd years ago at this point. So like that concept has been around for ages. Like,
Huge.
obviously, I'm not
What I
putting
mean,
filling a bathtub with water and throwing a bunch of ice in it. And so I'm dunking my children into it.
well, and I mean, that's a practice that's still done at hospitals today. Usually you're talking about somebody being severely, I mean, you're talking like, I don't even want to put a number on it, but like well above 100 degrees, right? Like 105, 100. You're talking about like that ice bath is going to save brain cells because they're burning up at that point. You're not throwing a toddler who's running a 99 degree fever into an ice bath because they have a 0.4 degree variance from the healthy 98.6, right? Like,
That's fair. Hold on, I'm seeing. I'm. We can keep this in here. I'm watching the children right now and making sure she's all right. Yeah, she sounds good. So that's always a positive. Maybe the AC thing worked. But again, we are not professionals and it is not a long-term solution. But speaking of bringing the temperature down, what, like, I don't know, did you use medicine when Alana was that young? I know there are certain medicines that you have to be over a certain year or a certain age, certain weight. Medicines are different. Do you use medicines, or how, what are your thoughts on using Tylenols, Motrins, organic stuff?
Yeah, so I mean, Tylenol and ibuprofen are the two that, or sorry, acetaminophen and ibuprofen, Kleenex versus tissue, right? But acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, and ibuprofen, which is Motrin, are the two that, like, I think it basically infancy are safe for kids, right? The dosage is obviously incredibly low, right? The amount of Tylenol that you give a 6-month-old is very different than what I would take if I had a headache or something. Yeah, I mean, I'm a crunchy dad. I'm a hippie dad. So like medicine is a last resort for me most of the time. I prefer a more natural approach. But you know, if your kid is, especially with something like a fever, right? 'Cause fevers get scary pretty quick. So like, kind of like I said, if it's a low grade fever, I'm gonna let it ride. And this is for my kid. This is for me. This is the way that I approach life. It's a low grade fever. I'm gonna let it ride. I'm gonna let my body do its thing. I'm gonna trust my intuition and just kind of feel it out. As it goes up, for me, I'm still gonna trust my intuition, right? Like if I think my fever's getting pretty hot, or like I'm feeling pretty weird, I need to bring this down, I'm gonna take some medicine. That's a little bit harder because again, your kid's not gonna be able to tell you that, right? Not typically, you're not gonna get that direct feedback. And so it can be kind of challenging to say like, yeah, I'm gonna take medicine now, or no, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to really put a specific time frame on it. You know, I prefer a more natural approach. You know, honey for sore throats and for anything. Honey is such a good immune booster.
Okay, so we have some interesting additions to the podcast today, but I have adjusted the cameras because the baby who is sick is right here. And the other one is downstairs yelling for the ice cream truck. So
Hey man, we've never said this podcast is anything but a real story of two dads trying to figure it out. This week we just happen to be doing it live.
yeah, pretty much at this point. But the good thing is, I mean, this is the thermometer that you lent me. It is the most accurate one that that I've used. And according to this, hold on, I'm just checking it for like the 15th time right now. 98.1.
Hey, that's a broken
So,
fever.
broken fever.
It's amazing what a nap will do, man. It's
I need a
a
nap.
great reset to my day.
I think I'm getting a little feverish. I need a nap.
Yeah. I'll try to sell Emily on that one. Sorry, babe, I'm feeling a little bit temperate. I need to go lay down for a little bit.
but no, get back to the medicines that we were
Yeah,
discussing.
so I mean, you know, we were talking about Tylenol and Motrin, and I'm not opposed to Tylenol and Motrin. There's a place for anything that helps, especially with pain management. But you know, a lot of the time, and it's a tough balance, right? Because I never want my kid to suffer, right? I never want Alana to feel pain. I want to bubble wrap her and carry her around in my arms and never have her experience anything bad.
That's how I feel with this one.
But at the same time, like,
If
my
I can
body.
eat them up here.
Do you have to eat those at the table?
My body is what it is, and my body works and cares for itself.
Watching.
Keep going. I don't know. It's so funny.
It's all good. It's great. It's great. For those of you
Hold
listening to this podcast and not seeing the visuals, Noah has entered the chat.
on. Yes.
You know, my body built the immune system that it has, and I am the person that I am because I suffered through some shit, right? I had some bad flus and colds and things, and my body figured it out and built antibodies and developed itself. And I don't want to deprive my daughter of having that same immune system, right? And building those resistances by medicating every fever she has down or keeping her away from every germ in the world, right? And I mean, like, I'm far from that, right? We were walking through Target the other day, and she was sitting in the cart chewing on the handrail, and I was like, I should probably stop that because that's the grossest thing. Like, God knows how many people have touched that. And you know what?
April will clean off the things with the wipes they supply.
Yeah, problem with me is I'd rather have my kid eating the germs on that thing than the gnarly bleach and stuff that's in those wipes.
Fair.
So, but I mean, again, different strokes.
Yeah.
I am a admittedly crunchy parent, and I'm not too worried about my kid, licking the rail of a shopping cart because if they get sick, they get sick, and they'll get better because that's what bodies are for, right? Bodies get sick, bodies get better. We have immune
And
systems for a reason.
on that way with Noah here, because he's my boy, like we discussed on the last episode, like you're tough, like you know what, he put his shoe in his mouth the other day, and I was like, that's disgusting, don't do that, but I'm not gonna like make sure you don't do it again, just like don't, because it's gross.
Your wife and I actually had a conversation not too long ago because I found a format that said, take your shoes off, the kids lick the floor, that I almost bought you guys. It, not as a judgment of your kids, but because kids are weird and kids do stuff like lick the floor, so you shouldn't wear shoes in somebody's house if they have kids. Shouldn't wear shoes in people's houses anyway, but that's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah, no.
yeah, I mean, and so for me, like my
Forget
first
me.
inclination when
Pink.
Alana gets sick is
Or Daddy.
it's usually non-medical, right? I'm gonna try giving her some
Protect
honey,
you, your
maybe some
arm.
I have a it's an immunity cough syrup, basically. It's honey infused with garlic and onion because garlic is antibacterial, onion is an expectorant, which means it gets things out of your system, right? It makes your nose run. That's why you cry when you cut onions, because onion's an expectorant and it makes you push things out of your body. Onion and garlic infused honey, it tastes great, and it helps with anything you got going on. This is not a medical endorsement of anything. Do
I
your
was
own
gonna say,
research, do your own
is it
things.
something you buy and you create, or is it something you purchase?
No, it's something I make. I mean, literally, you just
Oh.
cut up some onions and cut up some garlic and you throw them into honey and you let it sit for a couple of days and then you strain out the solids and there you go. You can even keep the solids in if you're a freak and you want to crunch your cough syrup, but that's not for me.
No, so and so that, I mean, as organic as we have gone, is and April's gonna be like, that's not the right one.
Oh,
You're
And
thinking
it's
of either Highlands or Zarbee's teething tablets.
Zarbies. Okay, so we do use, yeah, we do use Zarbies. It comes in the white bottle. And we did use Highlands before. So when these two were both young, and y'all can't see my hands, and especially if you're listening to it, they're right here, pretty much sitting in my chair. Well, she's in my lap, and he's climbing on the chair as we speak. We didn't want to give him a whole bunch of Tylenol. Tylenol was the last resort. And now it's like, I don't even know if they make the Zarbies or the Highlands for kids their age.
I don't think they
They
do because
might.
I think those are specifically like a homeopathic remedy. They're a sugar pill teething tablet type of thing. So I don't know that there's a comparable medicine. I mean, we could get into all the benefits of like arnica and Echinacea for colds, but that's
Maybe.
a that's going real down the
Then
crunchy path
you're going a
that
whole different way.
yeah.
But there's just pretty much you got to give your kid what you got to give your kid, and we're all at different levels. And
Get to the beep.
it doesn't be, that's the other one. And just making sure your kid is taken care of, because nobody can tell you you're wrong. I mean, people can, but like people are gonna look at me dropping the AC as, oh no, your kid should have gone to the doctor, but like it worked, or at least it appears to have worked. I run like I'm a heater, I weigh 150 pounds and I radiate heat. So I bet you that she is going to be on fire after this. I keep touching her head. If you see my hands, I keep touching her head.
Goody.
Yes, this is Goody. Yeah, as you know, this is your biggest fan. But and that's, this is a conversation that you and I had on our topics list before, because we will see things differently. Like, I get a headache. I'm going to take some Tylenol. I'm going to take some Claritin, even though my wife's saying, you say Claritin doesn't work. It doesn't, but that's what she buys. But you're more, like you say, crunchy dad. You're more like, I'm going to throw garlic and honey. I'm going to throw garlic and onion and honey. And I would have never thought of that, nor would I give my children that, because that sounds disgusting.
That's great, man. It's delicious.
I want to try it, but like, I'm not giving it to my kids.
Hey man, everything medical, one of the great things about this country is medical autonomy, right? You get to choose what you want to do with your body. So like and that's the thing. Like I'm never gonna judge another dad for rushing their kid to urgent care when they
No,
have a
yeah,
99 degree
exactly.
fever, right? That's not what I'm gonna do, and that's not the approach that I'm gonna take. And I have a deep philosophy and a lot of thought that has gone into why that's not my first reaction. But I'm never gonna judge somebody else for how they take care of their kids or how they take care of their body. That's your choice. So I mean, if you want to go the crunchy route like me and use all organic stuff that you make at home, great. If you want to buy Tylenol and just like pound it down your kid's throat, I'd encourage you to look into the side effects of over medicating things. But
Like
again,
how,
that's
yeah,
your
like
choice. Like trust.
we do the dosage, and then like we will not, if it, not even to the minute. Like, if it says
Yeah.
4 hours between doses, we wait 4 hours exactly between doses. So yeah, so let's not pour Tylenol down our kids' throats here.
And again,
Like,
to be
I
clear,
know
I wasn't judging you
it
in
was a
that either. I don't
figure of
think that you're
speech, I
pouring
know.
Tylenol down kids' throats. But like, people and people do it themselves too. Like you've got a little minor headache and people will pop Tylenol or Advil and stuff to make it go away.
I'm guilty of that one. I'm like, oh, I need at least 1,000 milligrams anytime I feel any kind of way. And like, I bet you 200 would work just fine, but my military days have pretty much told me that 1,000 milligrams is how you're gonna feel better. Like, that's
Yeah.
what you take.
Well, I mean everything could be fixed with a
Don't
fistful of
understand.
ibuprofen, an energy drink, and a pack of cigarettes.
That's right. Oh, and a change of socks. Well, I don't know why, but a change of socks always has to be in
Change of
there.
yeah, but I mean that's everybody is free to choose their own path. For me, like I said, I'm an intuition-based dad. I'm gonna follow what feels right to me and what feels right to Emily and what feels right to Alana. And sometimes that means going straight to Tylenol, and sometimes that means riding it out and feeling where we're at. Because no two situations are the same, right? She can
Exactly.
tooth to tooth, Alana teethed differently every time she broke a tooth. Like sometimes she really needed Tylenol. Sometimes the Zarbee's tablets were great. Sometimes she could just drink some milk and it would be fine. Like, it's so hard to say what your kid is going to need in any given situation.
Okay. Being a child back here, as we discussed in 2 episodes ago. The language that kids use. I know. So, and the one thing that I wanted to mention, and obviously, like, people take it how you want, like the Asian medicine, because some people swear that that is the witch's brew right there. Like, some people say, like, because you have your very hippie style you, very Western medicine me, and then you have like
Yeah, I definitely
ginger
follow a
from the
lot.
backyard.
Yeah, I definitely follow a lot more on the Eastern side of medical culture, at least typically. But yeah, I mean there's benefits to every approach, right? I mean, TCM, traditional Chinese medicine,
Okay.
the
Thank
formal
you.
term, not the Asian medicine, as
It's just
Derek
like a
so gently put
growing
it.
up, it has always been Asian medicine. Like, I have never heard
So
TCM.
traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, homeopathic medicine, naturopathic medicine, allopathic, which is Western medicine. Like there's a million and one different approaches, and they all have their merits. And the big thing is just finding something that feels right to you, and feel like finding something that works well for you, right? There's always going to be more science backing up Western medicine because there's more money in Western medicine. We won't go down the anti-capitalist path there, but there's something to be said for the fact that there are going to be a lot less studies done on the ginger grown in your backyard because nobody can make money off of that. But like, ginger is great. It's anti-inflammatory. It's awesome for your body. So like, maybe that's good for you too.
Hey, it was just a random thing I said,
Yeah, no, I mean, like, but that's like, when you're doing this, like I said, you should trust doctors, you should trust science, you should trust experts, but understand that we live in a world where you can pay for research and find out the truth about whatever you want. So, don't trust one source. If somebody tells you that this is the best thing and the only way to do it, trust but verify, confirm, look into multiple researches, and also look at the research, right? It's pretty easy to tell. Medical research is all fairly public. So if somebody is saying that this medication works best for this, look at the research study and how they're claiming why it's best. Who funded it? Was it the company that made the drug? Because I guarantee you that if I made something, I'd tell you it's the best.
Yeah, of course. I was gonna say something, and I drew a blank there, but it's a confirmation bias. Just because like it matches up to what you believe in doesn't make it right. Like find at least three research articles, and like you said, like find the research itself. Because if I read, I don't know, what's a random article that people WebMD, like you can't just trust everything on WebMD. In that case, we all have cancer and we're all gonna die tomorrow. Not saying that it doesn't have some benefits to it, but like look up something else along with that. Look up like the Mayo study with that one. Look up the research, the research itself kind of thing. But the big thing is like give it time. You take a Tylenol, do you expect that to work in 5 minutes? Like no, you allow that Tylenol to take effect.
Yeah. And the same thing goes for just being sick in general, right? If your kid spikes a fever of 99 degrees, I'm not going to tell you to not do anything, but maybe that goes away in an hour. Like, don't rush and jump and freak out. The hardest thing that you can do as a dad, and also the best thing that you can do as a dad, is keep a level head and stay calm and weather the storm, because it could get worse and you could have to react, or it could get better and you could have wasted time freaking out about this terrible thing that was going on.
Yeah, exactly. What on the me? Let's fix this real quick. Okay. Entertaining children. Screen time, another episode. Yeah, so no, it was just a good topic because I was living it right now, and we all live it and we all go there. And like I was reaching out to other dads today too, like what have y'all done? Because I was at a loss. I feel like I've tried everything that I usually would, and I feel like it was all for naught.
Well, thank you all for joining us this week. I know this is a really personal topic, right? Everybody takes their own healthcare very seriously, and their kids' healthcare very seriously, and everybody has their own opinions. As I said in the episode, we are not here to judge you or tell you that there's a right way or a wrong way to approach medicine. We just, Derek and I have been talking about this for frankly the last 72 hours since Ivy got sick. We've been talking about what to do and how to approach fevers and how we what we use and what our opinions are. And so we thought this would be a great episode to really just frankly record the same conversation that Derek and I are having, which really is what we do every week anyway.
That's true.
These are things that Derek and I talk about because we're dads, and dad life is something that both of us are passionate about. We want you to be involved in the conversation. So tell us what to talk about next. Get involved even more. Comment down below if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening on a podcast. Email us at proudofyoudads@gmail.com, or reach out to us on any of our social media. It's at proudofyoudads. We always want to know, what what you do to help your kids and what we can do better. And we also want to know what you're struggling with. So maybe we have our next episode that we can come up with a topic to help you better tackle what's going on in your life. If you can, share this video with your friends, like if you're following us on any social media, follow along. If you subscribe to the podcast and set up your automatic downloads if you're listening on a podcatcher, or subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Those likes and subscriptions really go farther than to help us spread the word. Every time somebody likes this podcast, it increases our power in the algorithm and helps us to reach more people and help more dads and bring other people into the conversation.
Right.
So until next week, I'm Andrew Goody.
And I'm Derek Mata with special guest Little Matas. You can't see him, but they're here.
And we are all proud of you.